points you in the right direction of fantasy choices of the Los Angeles Rams and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Sean, your guess is better than mine, buddy, so I am glad you're here. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good, sir. Did you have a good weekend fantasy-wise in the KFFSC?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. You know, finally got some production out of some of those rookie running backs, and that helped a little bit. It was nice to see. So maybe things are starting to trend in the right direction. Well, Jonathan Taylor finally showed up a little bit.
Yes.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire got in the end zone twice last night. So good things coming for those guys, I hope.
The year when those guys either hit the wall or bust right through it, and you had two right there that burst right through it. In big games that were exciting that weren't decided until later on in the evening, I think that's what we're facing here tonight. Do you think we're looking at a forerunner to the NFC Championship game, the LA Rams and Tampa Bay Bucks?
I don't know. I still think the Saints are probably the favorite, mm-hmm. but these are definitely two of the teams that could be vying to face them.
You know, and either,
at this point, I would think the Saints are the favorite.
Either defense here, Sean, would enjoy working with Taysom Hill after they've got to look at what Taysom Hill is going to do and is best put his game to work on film. So I don't know. I know that they are the number one seed. That's where it would be. So I think that I think we're looking at I think we're looking at some mighty fine football teams playing some very competitive football down the way. And it looks as if you can rely on some of these players to take you to where you want in the KFFSC if you can pick the right one. So let's go at it. Before we get started, a tip of the cap to a guy that enjoyed the weekend picking the right ones. You know, it's been since 2013 and 2014, Sean, since we've had back-to-back champions in the KFFSC, the famous repeat. And I never thought that we would even be in conversations about having it again. But our 2019 champion, Chad Schroeder, played one team this year. They scored the most points in Week 11. They are in first place after Week 11. He did it with quarterbacks Herbert, Cook, and Gordon as his running backs, wide receivers. Sean, you know, Keenan Allen in the fifth and sixth round, that was just stealing down there. Hopkins, Allen, Justin Jefferson, one of your favorites, Calvin Ridley, boxed up with one of my favorites, Darren Waller. Pretty impressive group to go forward with for Mr. Schroeder, wouldn't you say?
It is, and I think you hit right on that key there. I think a lot of teams this year that took a chance on Keenan Allen and Stephon Diggs, you know, with their quarterback situation, are getting paid back handsomely now.
That's exactly right. And Hopkins went later than he should. Everyone knew it. Allen went much later than he should because he was tied to a quarterback that people questioned. Jefferson was a rookie. And, you know, by the time I got to Las Vegas, Sean, they were talking about Jefferson not being the starter. B.C. Johnson was going to be the starter, pushing Jefferson further down. Waller, they threw the stats up on the board, comparisons of Kelsey and Waller for this year, awfully, awfully close. When I drafted in Las Vegas, and perhaps the disparity in Kentucky was not as wide, but when I drafted in Las Vegas, Kelsey was a first-round pick. Waller stayed on the boards the middle of the fourth, early fifth. Great value there. But let's get to the nice game and let's talk about some value. When we look at the current top 100 in the league, you would say, well, who's going to move up? Are there some Bradys out there? Are there some Kowskis out there? Who's that to help these teams move up? You know, in the top 100, we're just seeing some Tampa defense, some Rams defense. There's a couple of Cooper Cups, but interestingly enough, these great offensive players from these two teams have not pushed a lot of teams to the top of the KFFSC. So let's start at quarterback tonight. We saw what Mr. Goff did against Seattle, a porous defense. He did not put up big fantasy numbers in a Rams victory. And Tom Brady has to look across at a defensive line that is mighty impressive and featuring the best cornerback in the league. Sean, naturally, we think Brady scores more fantasy points, but neither option is very good for a fantasy scoring from the quarterback position tonight, correct?
No, with all these star skill position players, these two defenses probably are going to stifle, you know, these guys somewhat. I think you can still obviously play some of your wide receivers, but yeah, I would not be looking to start either quarterback tonight.
So we're in a situation now. We have to assume that Jalen Ramsey stares down Evans. What a great matchup that's going to be. And you're tended to say, well, you know, Evans is such a great size and such great athletic skill. And, you know, he's going to get his not so fast. You'd say all those things about DK Metcalf. And what DK Metcalf has is a proven vibe and lots of connection with his quarterback. Mike Evans is not connected with Brady on the same level this year and now gets Ramsey draped all over him.
That's right. Plus, another element is DK Metcalf is also a lot faster than Mike Evans. So, yeah, you would think it really sets up for it to be a tough night. The only thing that might save him a little bit is, you know, there are two other fantastic wide receivers. So maybe they don't keep him with him all night, but I'm with you. They probably do.
Godwin and Brown are the two prolific receivers in this offense before we even begin to talk about the tight end. Now, what has happened in previous Rams-Seattle matchups was that Lockett was very, very productive. What is happening here, you would have to assume that Godwin gets on the same page as Brady and has a big night?
You would think it would definitely set up well for Godwin, you know, to maybe not a huge yardage night, but probably, you know, the 6 or 7 catch range.
So your yardage down the field is going to come from the newest buck, Antonio Brown. Antonio's trying to keep it real. He's still on the team. He gets another chance to get out on the field. Interestingly enough, our Chad Schroeder in first place has Antonio Brown on the roster. He couldn't jump in front of any of those receivers. I wonder if Chad will be looking at that and say, well, you know, I could have fit him in somewhere, maybe in front of Hopkins. Antonio Brown, plus 12, plus 10 fantasy points tonight, Sean.
I mean, 10's not a real high bar, but you can't fault the guy for – you're never sitting – never going to sit Hopkins. I don't care who he's playing.
Yeah. You know, I guess if you do that, people would accuse him of getting Tuesday's newspaper on Sunday.
That's right.
Sean, where's Gronkowski figure in all of this? We're dealing with a very, very aggressive pass rush, a very threatening defense to Brady. All tight ends in this Tampa Bay system, they may go with two tight ends from time to time on the field. Blocking is going to be very important. Does Gronkowski give up reception numbers to protect his quarterback tonight?
Yeah, I think he probably does. I mean, that's one of the curses of being such a great blocker that Gronk is. Sometimes he's more valuable to the team there, and it doesn't really help us out in the fantasy circles, but in real football, it certainly does. Gronk's been an interesting case for me this year. I thought, you know, watching him early in the year, he looked terrible. He looked stiff. He looked robotic. Mm-hmm. But then he hit, you know, you look back weeks 5 through 8, he had a pretty good stretch there where it looked like he was back. And then, you know, since then he's been, you know, 2 receptions, 1 reception, not much going on there. So it makes you wonder if, you know, maybe he got his second win there for a little while and maybe that's, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight.
I've always thought that Gronkowski can do the job that he's asked to do. And you and I talked about it. I said, don't write off Gronk too soon. It's, he serves a number of goals for Brady in this offense, but, yeah, you're right. Over those midweeks of the season, moving from 5 to 8, at least the midweeks of our fantasy season, He was golden in making the receptions, golden in getting open. And as that offensive line gives Brady more time to throw, Gronk becomes more valuable. You know, when the Tampa gets around the goal line, it's no guarantee that they're going to hand it off to either running back, because 1 and 2 yards out, Brady begins to often employ the quarterback sneak, and they love making the short passes around the goal line. What are your expectations regarding our two running backs? Las Vegas, our friends in the desert, Fournette is listed over under 23 yards. I think that number is correct. And Ronald Jones is listed over under 51 yards, which makes me think that they can't quite figure out what's going to happen either.
Yeah, I think it's really been tough to read the running back situation for Tampa this year. They seem to take turns. It's kind of upside down also, because, you know, coming out of college, we thought Ronald Jones was going to be a better receiving back than a running back, and it's turned out just the opposite. Mm-hmm. Leonard Fournette, who when he came out of college from LSU, nobody knew if he could catch the ball or not. Now he's more of a guy that's trusted as a pass catcher. It's completely upside down there. Very difficult to read. To me, this sets up more of I would be more comfortable on the Fournette side tonight, especially with that low of a number.
Yeah, you're thinking, yeah, exactly. For a fantasy play, you're sticking with Jones.
I am, but I don't expect a big game from either one of them, honestly.
Yeah, touchdown dependent for the Tampa running back. You could say the same thing about the Rams running back. It's touchdown dependent, unless your name is Brown. If your name is Brown and you're in the red zone, you're getting the opportunity to rush the ball from these Rams. Akers and Henderson, if they're to score on the ground, probably have to do it outside of the 10-yard line. Brown, 2 TDs last week. He's a bone crusher, middle line runner. That's what it would take against this Tampa-based out running defense. Who's got the better, I think, better pass defense, better pass rush for the Rams? Would you say that Tampa has the better rushing defense in this game?
Yeah, I think so. It seems like that's what the way the season's played out so far.
I hope our commentary is correct, Sean, because I'm opposing in my own personal fantasy play Henderson in a couple of leagues. And, you know, I feel like one of those politicians, like on Tuesday night, waiting for the last votes to come in, because the games are that close. Let's take a look at those wide receivers. Our friends in the desert expect Cooper Kupp to be the favorite target of Goff in this matchup. And I believe that is what's going to happen. Although I tell you, man, running those slant routes against this core of linebackers and safeties, Cooper Kupp must be one tough hombre to have a big reception number night. I think you got to look to throw that ball around, and this is where I expect the tight ends to come into play for the Los Angeles Rams. Everett and Higbee, big, tough, solid receivers who can get open quickly. They can do their blocking on the offensive line, break out, catch a short pass, and move with it. I think we might see a lot of that. Higbee, Everett, and Kupp are my guys. What do you have to say about the outside receivers for the Rams tonight?
Well, I always feel fairly comfortable starting Robert Woods, because seems like they have a certain number of plays where he's going to get his touches, whether it be on the jet sweep or whether it be on a reverse. So I'm not ever too worried about that guy getting shut out. He has been down the last couple of weeks, though. It does seem they've become more of a – seem like they're trying to run the ball more, you know, here lately, although be it with their whole backfield, not one guy.
One of my biggest complaints have been about Coach McVay is the fact that I have accused him of taking the foot off the gas and running out the clock. He will not have that luxury tonight. His guys are going to have to play four very, very big quarters. I give the advantage to Tampa in the kicking game. I think when we get when we get in a situation of having to add three the suck up will be the guy. It's very interesting that you take two teams here and they've had their trouble identifying with kickers. Forbath is on the other side for the Rams.
Yes, I believe that's right. Yes.
So they've had changes too. And it's very fascinating that so many good teams are having difficulty in the kicking game, lining up those field goals. And we don't talk a lot about that, but when we get close to these head-to-head matchups and people are 2 and 3 points away, kicking game could be very important tonight in some of our fantasy football outcomes. Sean, we've turned the tide. I have inched back to 500. You are one game below 500 in picking our Monday and our Thursday night games. The fellows in the desert have installed the Rams as the underdog. They remained at 4. They have moved to 4.5. You and I are just rolling right now. We're rolling down the strip in Las Vegas. We're trying to select where we're going. I'm picking the Encore. Small sports book, very comfortable for us. We go to the valet parking, get out, check in, we get a drink, we sit down in the sports book. What are we doing tonight?
I like the Rams. I'm going to continue to roll with the West being the best division out there. And I think Tom Brady, the one thing he does not like is pressure up the middle. And that's right where Aaron Donald lives, right where he's coming from. And I see a long night for Mr. Brady, and I like the Rams.
Oh, my goodness. We're on the same side tonight, which is always a dangerous situation. And aren't you glad we waited long enough to get that half point? Sean Ligon and I are always doing the right thing. And today we're coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky and Madisonville, Kentucky. But our imaginations fully have us on the strip in Las Vegas, joining the Rams for what we think will be a victory on the scoreboard. Hey, Sean, good luck tonight on any and every play that you have remaining in this week's KFFSC as we close it out here in week 11. Tomorrow will be the announcement of all the week 11 winners, best record and most points. You know, you can win both, $300 each. It'll also be our first week of moving into divisional championships. And if you didn't make the divisional championships, I'll remind you, do it every year. You'll play unopposed, but you're still gaining points to earn a wild card bid into the 2020 main event championship. So remember to set those lineups and put your best foot forward. Sean, I'll see you again Thursday night.
Sounds good. I'll be here.
Getting week 12 started with Sean Ligon on Thursday, everyone. We'll talk to you then. Good afternoon, everyone. It's the mid-afternoon of Monday, and as your Commissioner Farrell Elliott, I'm glad to tell you that I get to spend some of my time on Monday with the original Cash Money brother, Mr. Sean Ligon, the Oracle from Madison.